Good afternoon, Bay Area. Welcome to the Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darden, where every week we tap into the Bay Area art scene and bring you rich conversations with artists. On today's show, a creative who is using sound technology and still church bells, that's right, church bells that aren't moving, to create a beautiful audio experience at the Grace Cathedral. And I'll chat with sound sculptor Bill Fontana. Then Bats Improv celebrates its 40th anniversary. Co-founder William Hall is on the show, and I'm not making this up. Or maybe I am. Who knows? Today, we're going to laugh and chill. That's all coming up. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden, on KALW 91.7 FM. Did you ever look at a still object and wonder if it makes noise even while it's not moving? That's kind of what Bill Fontana has been doing around the world for 50 years. He's a sound sculptor. He places microphones and vibration sensors on objects. Then speakers project sounds from the objects that can't really be heard with the human ear alone. And the results are beautiful, otherworldly, meditative sounds. Bill is Grace Cathedral's 2026 Artist in Residence, and his latest installation is called Resonance, and is currently running at the church, and I experienced it, and it was absolutely beautiful. And Bill Fontana is on the show with me. Welcome, Bill.
Very nice to be here.
Oh, so good to have you here. And it was such a pleasure, too, as well, to meet you at Grace Cathedral and just to get a tour, an audio tour of your beautiful installation. So, well, first of all, Bill, too, congratulations on 50 years on doing this.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I was once a student of a composer named John Cage.
Yes.
And his New Year's greeting over was always like, instead of saying Happy New Year's, he would say to me, Happy New Ears.
Happy New Ears. Well, Happy New Ears, 50 years of new ears. You've captured sound from around the world, including glaciers melting in Austria and the bells of Notre Dame in France. And you use these vibration sensors and microphones. Tell us, and we talked about this at Grace Cathedral, tell us how you got into this art form.
Well, I became interested in kind of philosophically when I when I began my career with how the act of listening with a musical imagination was a way of making music. Mm-hmm. And I took a kind of almost scientific approach to listening, because I would be listening to ambient sound, and I'd start to notice the patterns that were occurring. And then I would sort of imagine the most interesting way of of rendering this in a recording. And at one point in the early stages of my career, in the 1970s, I'd gone to Sydney, Australia, and I was able to get a job with the Australian Broadcasting Company in the early 70s when they were opening their first FM stereo radio station. And I met a producer who said to me he was really interested in sound and was interested in the way I work with sound, and he asked me what I imagined would be fun to do now with the ABC. And I told him I wanted to basically do a project with the ABC where I would travel all over Australia and basically record what it sounded like in all kinds of remarkable situations. And that was a real kind of turning point for me, because it was the first time in my life that I actually had a well-financed job that could enable me to kind of do this stuff on a grand scale.
And I remember you told me, too, something about you learned something about silence and sound from, I think, a Buddhist. You went to a...
Yeah, it was 1985. I was living in Japan. And I had a research fellowship, because I knew that John Cage had been very interested in Zen Buddhism, I really wanted to explore the significance of sound and listening in Zen Buddhist meditations. And I'd gone to Kyoto to go to a sonic meditation session. And I was introduced to the monk who was doing it, who luckily for me spoke very good English. And he explained to me that in this meditation session, he was going to take a large bowl-shaped Buddhist temple bell that is designed in such a way that when you strike it once, it has a very, very slow decay before it becomes silent. And the idea of the meditation is when you listen to the sound of this Buddhist temple bell that's slowly becoming silent, you listen in such a way that you lose the separation between your brain and the sound, and you almost temporarily become the sound that you are listening to. And he said to me that if you can succeed in achieving that level of consciousness with listening, you'll have the illusion that the bell never stops ringing. Well, this was 1985. I was very excited by this idea, but in the beautiful garden of this temple, which was called Nanzenji, there was, of course, a large hanging Buddhist temple bell. And at that time, I was very interested in the physics of sound and the science of vibration. So I made my first ever recording in 1985 of a large hanging silent Buddhist temple bell with a vibration sensor placed on it that revealed this bell was echoing the amazing sounds in the garden of this temple.
Wow, beautiful story. And like when you, what makes you decide, or what goes through your mind when you see an object that is still and you're like, what does that sound like? Like how do you pick the objects or?
I mean, the issue for me is everything's interesting. Everything I see is interesting. And I developed a kind of conceptual idea in a phrase which I use in the concerts I do and that I will be giving at Grace Cathedral on the 19th of August and the 12th of September, called Imaginary Acoustic Visions. And what that phrase represents for me is learning to see with my ears and hear with my eyes.
See with my ears and hear with my eyes.
Yeah. And so besides the sound recordings that have resulted from that way of thinking, I'd also done a lot of experimental videos that kind of attempt to visualize the act of listening.
As I said before, this installation, I call it an experience. I know you, it's different things you can call art, sound sculpture. For me, it's an experience. And I was thinking about how I'm hearing the sound from the bell, but the bell's not moving. And so tell us, and we're gonna play a clip for people so they can get an idea. But tell us the setup for this. Like how you installed and everything.
The setup on this is very similar to what I'd done in pre with previous bell towers like Notre Dame, the Vatican, and so on. But no Grace Cathedral bell tower has 44 bells in it, and I selected three that are pretty silent most of the time, and I mounted vibration sensors on each of the bells, and these vibration sensors look like they look like little titanium canisters, and they're strapped to the bells, and they're connected to an amplifier that's designed to take the vibrations that they're picking up and turn that into a live audio signal. So these sensors are physically installed on these three bells, connected to an electronic amplifier that then is hardwired to a sound system down below inside of Grace Cathedral, where there is a beautiful sound system that is sponsored on this project by the Berkeley sound company, Meyer Sound. And it's a beautiful 10-channel loudspeaker system with the most amazing quality speakers that you can have spread out within Grace Cathedral, so that when the live harmonic vibrations of the silent bells are fed into the system, they're transported throughout this multi-channel loudspeakers system with a kind of sonic choreography, so that they're moving, they're slowly moving and echoing in the big space of the cathedral, and is an attempt to kind of make this sound piece an architectural sound sculpture that really makes it f you feel like the walls are speaking, and that it's feels like the real voice of that cathedral.
So okay, so just imagine, folks that are out there listening, just imagine yourself sitting in Grace Cathedral, and this is what you hear. Bill, what came up for you when you heard that? I know you've been hearing this for a while now, but is there any little, I heard little other little noises besides kind of like the vibration of the bell. I feel like I might have heard little voices or something.
Well, the bell is the silent bells are echoing the rhythms of the environment surrounding the cathedral, and there's certain sort of details that become recognizable, particularly like the cable car bells on California Street, you know, that pass Grace Cathedral, or also if there's a siren, or if there happens to be a loud bird near the cathedral. But when school was in session at Grace Cathedral, the voices of children in a playground were also, you know, e echoing in the bells. And besides these three silent bells, I've also got microphones placed inside of a couple of silent organ pipes in the cathedral that are kind of listening to the interior space of the cathedral. So it's kind of like, and they're actually listening to the bells that I'm playing in there. So it just adds a little kind of subtle tonal voice to the whole scene.
I like the idea of these things listening. These things that are
Well,
just sitting there, you know, and that they're picking up on something.
The thing is, if you think of this scientifically, the phenomenon of resonance, everything you see in the physical world has a resonant frequency. And if you think of what a resonant frequency is, if you had two identical tuning forks and you strike one, the other one vibrates. Well, it's the same with the world of resonance in the physical world. Since everything in the physical world has a resonant frequency, potentially, theoretically, everything in the physical world is a listening device. And this technology that I've been using, that is normally a tool of structural engineers called accelerometers, which are vibration sensors, is a tool that enters this sort of secret, hidden world of vibration that surrounds us. And so the way I look at the physical world and everything in it, I am imagining what kind of hidden dimension of secret vibrations is inside of it. One recording that I shared with you was a recording I made a few years ago in Sequoia National
Yeah,
Park.
so we're going to play that in a bit. Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
And in that recording, I placed vibration sensors of the same type that are strapped to the Grace bells onto the trunks of several massive 3,000-year-old sequoia trees. And this and the vibrations and sound that they picked up I found quite beautiful, because there's a large flowing river in Sequoia National Park, and the vibrations of the flowing river are in the ground. And because of the root system of the trees, basically these sequoia trees are listening to the earth. And what's going and the vibrations that are in the earth around the sequoia trees are the rhythms of the flowing river. And so in the recording I sent you, what you're hearing are some giant sequoia trees listening to the echoes of a flowing river in the ground.
If you're just joining me, I'm chatting with sound sculptor Bill Fontana. He is a 2026 artist in residence at Grace Cathedral. That meditative audio that you heard earlier is from his installation at the church and is called Resonance. And the sound comes from sensors he puts on steel bells. And Resonance is running at Grace Cathedral through September 20th. Let's listen to what you talked about, the sequoia trees. Let's listen to that sound. It's just so gorgeous and magical, and oh, I just get excited thinking about it. Okay, let's hear that. Powerful and beautiful to hear that, to hear this river running under the tree and to hear what a tree hears, if you want to think of it like that. How was it for you to do that, Bill, as far as to get install that?
Well, it was really an inspiring experience. And I also I'm currently working on a new project in Taiwan. And I visited an ancient mountaintop forest in Taiwan that also had trees that were 3,000 years old. They were cypress trees, and I made recordings of those trees. And I wanted to mention that on the 19th of August and the 12th of September, in Grace Cathedral, I'm doing two concerts of sound works that I've created from all over the world that I selected for being beautiful in the way they would interact with the acoustics of the cathedral, because it's a rare opportunity for me to be able to use that kind of massive, beautiful, resonating architectural space like the cathedral to play these other works.
Yeah, and what were the challenges of setting up this installation at Grace Cathedral?
The challenges were like fine-tuning the placement of the accelerometers, because how you place an accelerometer on a bell is like tuning a musical instrument, and you really want to position it at the right spot and mount it in the right way. And so there's a lot of time making test recordings up in the bell tower, mm-hmm. and then working with Meyer Sound design the placement of a multi-channel loudspeaker system. And then once this was installed, working with an amazing sound designer and engineer from Meyer Sound to kind of fine-tune the result of this in the space.
So the 2026 Artist in Residence theme at Grace Cathedral is Year of Residence. And the church's website says it's part that the theme is in part about their community exploring new dimensions in sound, meaning, and connection. And Reverend Malcolm Young of the cathedral said, for him and other attendees listening to this installation, is like a holy experience. And people do yoga when they're listening. I know I felt like I wanted to meditate a bit, and I did while I was there. How does this installation and the work that you do, how does it create connection? I know I will say definitely the sequoia trees, and I've been on your website and I listened to some of the work that you did in Florida and in the ocean. I definitely felt a different connection to nature listening to that? I feel like I got a little sneak peek into maybe what the water and the trees are listening to or doing that I wouldn't notice just walking around. Like, how does this create connection and community?
Well, I think one of my goals in creating this kind of an artwork is to create a listening experience that enables somebody to become fully present in a situation. To me, the idea of being fully present is very, very important. And I learned a lesson about this back in 1976, when I was in Australia. One sound I recorded, which was very beautiful, was a situation that I discovered happened only once every 5,000 years. And it was a total eclipse of the sun that I recorded in an old growth rainforest. Wow. And I wanted to document the effects of the total eclipse on the birds in this rainforest, because it was springtime in Australia. It was February in Australia. I mean, it was October. I'm spacing out on the date, but it was recorded in the springtime. Mm. And in the minutes leading up to the total eclipse of the sun in an old growth rainforest where you have lots of shadows, the light and the shadows became very, very unusual. And the shadows almost started shimmering. And all the birds in this rainforest, which were normally singing at the and reacting to the angle of the sun, so you don't have them all singing at the same time.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they all started screaming and shouting very intensively, like, what the heck's going on here? And then the moment of the total eclipse, it was like instantly dark. It was like, it wasn't a sunset. It was like somebody just turned the lights out. And then it was the loudest silence I think I'd ever experienced. And when I discovered that amazing moment, as I said earlier, happens once every 5,000 years, it made me really think about the importance in life and in the kind of experiences I want to create, is create situations that enable and help people being fully present in a space. And kind of trying to also maybe change someone's perception of time, and to create a sense of infinity and timelessness.
I felt that too when I listened at Grace Cathedral. I can see that. I can see that. You were inspired after the fires in Notre Dame.
Notre Dame had a terrible fire in 2019.
Yes.
And I had seen in the news reports that its two bell towers had survived the fire. And I had previously done a lot of work in Paris, so I knew a lot of people in the Ministry of Culture and was able to use that old network to gain access to the two bell towers from Notre Dame that were part of a cathedral that was kind of shut down from the results of the fire. And the fire was so bad, Notre Dame lost its roof in the fire. And Notre Dame had become not a functioning cathedral, but a kind of a construction site to kind of restore it. But in its two bell towers, there are 10 bells that were not damaged at all in the fire, but were silenced by the cathedral being shut down. So I got permission to access the bell towers and place vibration sensors on all 10 of Notre Dame's bells that revealed this amazing sound of the 10 bells of Notre Dame listening to the city center of Paris. I installed these on the sensors and did a live exhibition sound piece with this beautiful contemporary art museum in Paris called the Centre Pompidou, that where on a large balcony up on the museum that's normally used for sculptures, you could see Notre Dame in the distance in front of you. And a network of 30 loudspeakers were installed on the perimeter of this large terrace. Cushions were there, and people would go and lie on these cushions, see Notre Dame in the distance in front of them and the rooftops of Paris, being totally immersed in the live sound of Notre Dame's silent bells listening to the city center of Paris.
And there's a great short documentary about that on your website too, as well. And I watched that. Bill, we're almost out of time. So where okay, you glaciers, sequoia trees, cathedral bells, you've put sound sensors on so many things. What is like your dream? What do you want to put a sound sensor on?
Well,
what do you want to hear?
I have a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. It's easy to have an idea. The challenge is to turn it into reality. And maybe if Elon Musk happens to be listening to this broadcast, he might respond to this. But what I want to do is go to the moon.
I knew you were going to say that. I had a feeling before you even mentioned Eli. I had a feeling you were going to say that.
And this idea for the moon came about because a couple of years ago, I was in this big digital arts festival in Austria called Ars Electronica. And there was a curator from a museum in Austria who was working with the European Space Agency. And she asked me, "What is there something you've always wanted to do?" And I told her I wanted to go to the moon, bury seismic accelerometers in the surface of the moon, and transmit the live vibrations of the moon back to Earth. So you could look up at the night sky, see the moon, and hear its voice. And that's like one of my unrealized fantasies.
Well, you know what, Bill? If anybody can do it, I know it would be you. I know it would be you. Bill Fontana, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And for the beautiful art that you've given us through sound. Thank you so much.
And thank you for inviting me to speak with you.
Anytime. Bill Fontana is a sound sculptor and Grace Cathedral's current artist in residence. Experience his installation, Resonance. It's running at Grace Cathedral through September 20th. He has all kind of great events going on through September 20th. Visit Grace Cathedral's website for dates and time. And coming up, 40 years of creating something on the fly and building community. Best Improv co-founder William Hall is here. Stay with us. You're listening to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden, on KLW 91.7 FM. Shakespeare wrote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their interests, and one man in his time plays many parts." And this got me thinking about how in life we do a lot of improvising on our daily stages. William Hall is an improviser, teacher, and performer. He teaches improv in theaters and he teaches them to businesses. He co-founded Bats Improv in San Francisco. Bats is the largest and longest running improvised theater company and school in Northern California. And this year they're celebrating their 40th anniversary and they have events lined up for the community this month. And joining me is William Hall. Hey, William.
It's a joy. Janae, you just carry so much joy with you. People can't, if they don't know you, carry it in your face as well as your voice. It's great to be around you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy you're here. I love improv. You and I, we've talked and chatted and left messages for each other. 40 years of Bats Improv. So what got you into improv, William? Yeah, tell us that story.
Well, I think a lot of people have a lot of trepidation about being on stage and sort of being in the limelight. What are you going to do? Even actors have the actor's nightmare of being on stage naked, forgetting your lines. It's a real stressful situation. But I went into that business. I went into the acting business and I went to college specifically to study acting, like serious acting, mm-hmm. stage acting. And I moved to San Francisco because it was just such a hotbed of so much theater. But, you know, in school, we did a little bit of improv, and the improv they wanted me to do was improv the play scenes. We were rehearsing Ibsen, you know, pretend you're it's the scene before the written scene, and let's see what that looks like, which is a fine idea, but I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't match the quality of the great playwright Ibsen. So what was I doing? So I rejected all improv. But then I had this friend of mine when I moved to San Francisco, marvelous woman named Rebecca Stockley, magical person. And she was directing shows, and I was, as an actor, I was in sort of auditioning for shows, and I got into a couple of shows that she directed, and we became friends. Then she moved back to Seattle, so she came back to San Francisco to visit. This is the where it gets interesting.
Okay.
So
I'm
we're
interested
hanging
anyway,
out.
But go ahead.
Okay, good. We're hanging out in my apartment, down overlooking Ghirardelli Square, and we're making some pasta. And I'm asking what she's been up to, and she says, "You know, I've been doing a lot of writing of short stories in Seattle." And I was like, "Okay, that sounds interesting." And somehow she asked me to guess what one of the stories was. "You know, do you want to hear one of them?" She said, "Probably." And I said, "Sure." And she said, "Well, why don't you guess what it's about?" And I was like, "But it's your story." And she goes, "We're just making pasta. Come on, what do you think the story's about?" And so I started guessing the story, and I didn't get every guess right, but I got some of them right. And after a couple of minutes, the story concluded. "You know, how do you think it ends?" she probably said, and I came up with it. And she said, "That's great. But here's the thing,
Okay.
Janae." She said at this moment, she said a phrase that slowed time down for me and shifted my whole perception of reality. Because after we'd gone through this whole story with me guessing the story, she said this phrase: "Do you know who really wrote that story?" And I was like, "You're telling me I wrote that story with my guesses?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Yes, if your questions ended in consonants, and no, if they ended in vowels."
Okay.
And I didn't let too many no's go. So in that moment, I realized that all that education I had about protagonist and antagonist and dramatic arc and narrative through line, we have stories inside of us, and it's capable to sort of let them out if we distract the mind a little bit and just let that creativity come through. So it was a magic moment for me that changed my view of the world. And I said, "How do I get more of this?" And so she introduced me to the world of improvisation through Keith Johnstone's book, Impro, and the work that he was doing, and eventually led to her coming down to San Francisco. I was part of a theater group at that time. So we brought her down, and we had a workshop for everybody in the city that we knew. And so Rebecca taught us how to play theater sports, which is a Keith Johnstone format.
Okay.
And it was so exciting. It was so much of an event. Well, we had a little theater at 25 Van Ness that we were renting for this, and we sold out the theater. In the theater, there's a sign that the show is good because the audience won't leave. They stand in the audience and stand around and just talk for a while. When everyone
Yeah, that is true. That is true. That
it's
is
true.
true. Yeah, when you get people talking. What does BATS stand for? Does it stand for anything?
Well, at the beginning, it stood for Bay Area Theater Sports, and we were doing the format theater
Oh.
sports. Theater sports is played everywhere around the world. And in my travels, we're working with corporations. I've traveled a lot of places around the world and met a lot of great people doing theater sports and other kinds of improv. But that's what it stood for, BATS Improv.
Okay.
But then this shift started happening. There's a real emphasis on storytelling. You know, the improv kind of falls into two different categories: a kind of comedy category, like we're going for comedy, and the other category is storytelling, like let's tell some good stories. And so
Okay.
we were really focused on how do we tell good stories, and we started doing these single narrative stories. Our artistic director, our former artistic director, Rafe Chase, sort of guided us into this idea of let's tell one story for an entire night as if it was a written play
Okay.
or a movie that we were watching. So we get a suggestion from the audience, and we go and just tell the whole story.
Interesting. So, and you teach improv to actors, and again, like I said, to businesses. You've taught at Stanford Business School. So, like, what skills does BATS teach as far as to help people beyond the theater stage?
Well, I think the skills of improvisation, as with many of the skills of theater, are the skills of that you mentioned earlier about humanity, just living. We all improvise every day. Even trying to cross the street is an improvisation. We're like, "Can I go now? Do I go now? What's this?" And when we meet people, what do we say, and how do we follow up? How do we engage? And even the dynamics. So a lot of the work I did at Stanford was in a course by Deb Grunfeld called Acting with Power, and it's all about the power dynamics. Because some people can show up and they're very friendly, and you get to kind of feel close to them right away. And other people show up and you can feel like a formality with them. They're, you know, they're trying to be some sort of higher sort of status power. So those are skills that are really useful for scene work when you're developing scenes. Mm-hmm. But the basic skills are listening, as Bill said earlier about being present. How do you be right here, right now, just like you and I, we're just in this conversation. It's nobody else here, it's just you and I. How do you be present in this conversation? And how do you listen? And then there's this kind of playful collaboration. Like when you decide to improvise with somebody, you're entering into this agreement that you're going to play together. You're going to find something. Mm. It's kind of like dancing together.
Yeah, words, it's funny, as you're saying, I'm moving and dancing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're dancing too. Yeah. So when businesses hire you, because I'm thinking, because you're saying like it is kind of a dance. Like, I guess, do they use that skill with business negotiations when making negotiations and contracts and team building?
Yeah, the easy way to think of it is the sort of the lowest level. I guess it's at some level it's just a day of fun or an afternoon of fun. Bring the improvisers in and we'll have some fun together. And then a little more formal into team building. Sometimes when we talk about team building, we say, what would you like the team to be like? What would you like to improve on your team? Mm-hmm. And then we do a lot of listening as any consultant would. You know, do you want more collaboration? Do you want better listening? Do you want better communication, more leadership, more strategic thinking? So, and then we'll definitely tailor the training to whatever they need. But a lot of times it's just about being a strong team. No, I like to say you never know what the challenges a team will face and how tough they'll be, but you do know who you're going to face it with. You're going to face it with that team. So investing in the team is like investing in the future challenges that the team's going to have.
Interesting. Yeah. And what's interesting too is that how the importance of arts, you know, in other fields, you know, just so the fact that you get hired by businesses and business schools to teach an art form that you said is not very old. You were telling me that in a prior conversation, improv is not an old form.
Well, the
of
way
theater?
We think about improvisation today, it's the newest form of theater.
Okay.
Some people may nitpick me with that, and that's fine with me, but it's still kind of emerging. The way we see improvisation today, we can look back on the old Commedia shows, and my prior company was a Commedia dell'arte company. We did Commedia dell'arte, which is said to be improvisation. But the way we think about improvisation today, it really only goes back in America, back to Viola Spolin and Eva Boyd and the work that they did in the Work Projects Administration and the work that Keith was doing and some other people were doing in Europe and other places around the world. So it's really... it's a 20th century invention, this idea of getting on stage and making it up as you go as a theatrical art form. Mm-hmm. So it's still developing. We're still figuring it out. And you know, in the 40 years
which
we've
is,
been
which
here,
is improv.
Bam,
that's kind of
right,
improv.
Improv. In the 40 years we've been here, we considered maybe not starting the company because there was another company doing it. There were a couple of other companies doing it. And I look around how many improv companies there are today. And like, wow, there's so many improv really? Companies out there today.
Wow.
I think the thing that makes BATS really different, if I could just say this, is that when we got started with this idea, the actors are the last thing to think about in a theatrical production. A playwright has to write a play, a theater has to, a Berkeley rep has to say, I want to do it. And then they hire a director and the director casts. Finally, we get the actors in. But with improv, the actor is the writer. The actor is the casting director. The actor is the director. I mean, all the roles are done by the actor. So we wanted to tip that power balance back to the actor. And I think it's one of the reasons that we've stuck around for 40 years is that the actors have really had such a strong voice in what happens on the stage and what stays there. It's unheard of to have a company like this last so long
Yeah.
doing just improvisation. And it's a testimony to the number of people that got involved with us. I still think of us as a scrappy bunch of people still trying to prove ourselves. But, you know, we've got almost a 200-seat theater at Fort Mason with a view of the Golden Gate Bridge and a real operating budget. We've got people on staff that are making a living wage here. We're not some group of people that says, hey, let's rent somebody's garage and do a show. We really have grown up into a real business. And it's a little scary and really, really exciting.
And especially too, when you look at just the state of art and you know, arts funding today. If you're just joining me, I'm chatting with improv instructor William Hall. William co-founded Bat Improv. It's the largest and longest running improvised theater company and school in Northern California, and they're based in San Francisco. And they're celebrating their 40th anniversary. And they have a ton of events this month, including August intensives, which are happening at their Bayfront Theater at Fort Mason Center. And also too, that we have a Jamathon on Sunday, August 30th. Okay, so you said, well, not you particularly, but your website says that there are no wrong choices in improv. And so you said that we can do a little improv on the air. William, I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah. Well, you reached out to me and said, do you have any video of you doing this improv? I said, well, let's make some improv. I mean, let's call it what it is. We've been improvising the entire conversation.
I do have a script, but yes. Okay. So okay, so let's do this. Look, I'm taking off my jacket. And I'm looking in our other studio, and our board operator, announcer, and producers are very, very excited. So, let's do this, everybody. Okay, this is Janae Darden's debut.
Yeah, well, here's an exercise we might do early on just to sort of make the connection with people that just play with each other.
Okay.
And that's, we break people into groups of two, and we ask them to find three things in common.
Okay.
So Janae, let's you and I see if we can find three things in common.
Okay. We both wear glasses.
That's true.
Yeah.
Were you born in San Francisco?
No.
Me either. We were not born here.
We
came here.
Yeah. I mean, I was born in Oakland. So, but that's not San Francisco.
That's right.
Yes.
Did you go to an art school?
No.
No. Do you have any brothers?
Yes.
We both have brothers.
Okay, we both have brothers. Uh-huh. We both are storytellers.
Yeah. See, that sort of give and take is what improv is really all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little about listening to each other, looking for agreement, and how we play together. Yeah. So you ready to play something?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's, let's go.
Okay, so there are no wrong choices, right?
There's no wrong choices.
We just keep moving forward. If we stop to go, hey, that's not right, we're not, I mean, just play.
Yeah.
It's all about
moving
forward.
I already told Will, I said, don't say anything where I'm going to lose my job. So that's
yes,
it.
Please don't say anything where you lose your job.
I gotta keep my job. Prefero's laughing, our producer, because he wants to keep his job too. Okay, yes.
Let's all keep our jobs. So let's think about this as a short little exercise. And we'll go back and forth, and we'll add one word at a time. So I'll say the first word, you say the second word, and we'll go back and forth. But we're looking for a life motto, some pithy statement that might help people understand life better.
Okay.
And if the language gets kind of awkward, well, sometimes life mottos have awkward language. So we'll just let that be in there.
Okay.
And whatever we say, let's just see where it goes. And you and I'll know when it's over. We'll just kind of go, well, that's it.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
I think so.
You want some advice?
We're starting.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking. Here's the advice I'd say. Just say the obvious thing.
Okay.
Just say the obvious thing. Okay. We know how to do this.
Okay,
here we go.
Yeah, you start.
Life
is like a box of chocolate.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. But let's try it one word at a time.
Oh, one word at a time. Okay, I messed up. Okay. Oh no, but there's no wrong thing.
No, but there are no mistakes. I love that.
So would you say life and I say is?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Life
is
waiting
to
take.
You said take?
Take
flight
with
family.
That's it. I like that. It's just like that.
Oh, okay.
Life is waiting to take flight with family.
Okay. That's
yeah.
sweet. Which they're clapping in the producers the producers booth. Thank you. And our announcer, he clapped on mic. Thank you. Thank you. Let's do another one.
Yeah, let's do another one of those. You start this time.
Let's see. I don't know why I'm
thinking. See, that searching for a word is interesting. You know, if we were taking it into class, I go, any word is okay to start. But it's okay. Interesting how we look for the word. And in improv, we're trying just to go with it and not sort of put it through. Our education system teaches us how to be a little heady.
Okay.
So sometimes think of it this way. We can think of children as immature adults, or we can think of adults as atrophied children.
Okay.
Just be the child with it.
Because we're
see
playing.
What comes out.
We're playing. Okay. Yeah. So you all too that are in the cars or at home listening. So you come up with a word too. Okay. Socks.
Are.
Warm.
And.
Protective.
For.
Feet.
So.
They.
Are.
Hugging.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. This idea that we don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
But we agree that we're going to follow it with this belief that something will arrive.
Yeah.
It's going someplace.
Oh, that was so much fun. We're going to I'm looking at in our producer's booth. You guys, we're going to do this. We're going to do this before each show. They're laughing, but we are going to do this. I'm serious. Because I'm the host. So, yeah, we're doing this. We're doing this. William, this is fun. Okay, so we have a few more minutes. Maybe we might even squeeze in another improv. But I do want to talk about the events that you all have coming up. Because I know you did not just come on the show to play games. But you are welcome, more than welcome to come back to do some improv games with me. So tell us about August Intensive. Because I understand folks are excited about this. Because you hadn't done it in a while, or August Intensive, we're back.
We've had this kind of tradition that it's like summer camp improv intensive. Like let's dig in, let's spend a couple of days and spend 3 or 4 days like in intensives. Like let's spend all day at the theater and just get into it. So we've got a lot of intensives coming up. And this is, you know, when you take a look at our website.
There was a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Wherever you are on your improv journey and whatever interests you, I'd be surprised if you can't find something that feels right for you. And I got to say that all of our instructors are committed to creating this safe place to play. Janae, you and I just felt this. If you can't create that safe place, you can't play.
Yeah.
You can't relax. So how do you create a safe place where we can get up on the stage, this container, the sacred space of the stage where you get to pretend and play. It's a place where even the ghosts take curtain calls at the end. It's just a fantasy. So let's go up and play.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is important because a lot of adults, we don't play like we used to.
Tell me about
it.
Yeah. This, I mean, really, and the playing that we do as adults is often, you know, zero sum, somebody wins and somebody loses.
Yeah.
And we play like that. But just like the game we were just playing, we both win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the playing is for its own sake, just to enjoy the play. And where do we get together as adults in a safe place and get to play these games and release our own creativity and feel that excitement of creating something with somebody else? I mean, socks, really. Are hugging us all the time. I'm not going to forget that.
Yeah. I know. When I put on my socks tomorrow, I'm going to look at my socks a little differently. So these August intensives, that's running all month. And there's a lot. So for folks who want to check out the website, there's a lot of options. And then also, too, you'll be having your Jamathon. That's on Sunday, August 30th. Tell us about that. And that's free for the community.
Oh, my gosh. If you're looking for your community, if you're looking for a place to come and play that are committed to play and storytelling and community, then you've got to check us out. You got to come to the theater on August 30th. It's free. Come and meet the players and meet the other students. And you, it's such a kind, welcoming environment. I've never met, I travel all over the world for my corporate work. And wherever I go, I reach out to the improv companies there. And I've never met a warmer, more generous community than the improv community. It may exist out there, but it's just so welcoming. And everyone just wants to get together and play and just have a good time. And when we get it right and put it up on a stage, an audience is transported. And it's so exciting to feel that audience. I was performing last week and we did Shakespeare. We did improvised Shakespeare and a couple of story twists and turns. And the audience was like, oh no. And it's just that exciting. And then, you know, just to remember that we're all just making it up. We're just following the next little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we like to say in improv, Janae, the concept is yes and. Like, say yes to whatever's happening. Just like you and I did, we said yes to what the other person was saying. So there's this idea that people who say yes are rewarded by the adventures they have. And people who say no are rewarded by the safety that they attain. So how do we make the world safe to take adventures so we can say yes?
And getting on, you know, that's the number one fear for people is public speaking. So getting on stage is courageous. But I like to that, and we have to wrap up. But I like to the idea of Bats, what you all are doing too, as well, is because so many people are isolated right now, and just some people are feeling lonely. So to me, this seems like a space where you can get together and meet people and just have a good time. So, William, congratulations on 40 years. Congratulations to you and your college. I'm going to come by to one event because I do want to do some improv because I just think it's fun. So
please do today. And there's great improv happening in the East Bay too. There's some of our fellow friends and sort of extended family, if you will, are over there doing some great work. So
you and I will connect.
Go seek some improv.
Yeah, we'll connect. William Hall is the co-founder of Bats Improv. Check out their August intensives workshops all month long. And those are taking place at the Bats Bayfront Theater at Fort Mason Center in San Francisco. And also to make sure you check out their Jamathon on Sunday, August 30th. Too as well. That's all the time we have for the Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darden. Thank you to our show producer, Porfirio Rangel, and our board operator, Tarek Ansari. And thank you for tuning in. We have another great show for you right here next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Until then, be good to yourselves and each other, and maybe do a little improv too.